Even though the Lord is coming back very soon, yet there are people that are continually, habitually sinning against God. Willfully transgressing the law of God. And yet the Holy Spirit has been sent so that you and I can be convicted, so we can change our lives.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul once lived a sinful, self-destructive life without any remorse. But everything changed when the gospel of Christ convicted him and brought him to his knees. For Raul's testimony of how Jesus has transformed his life, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. Or for a free DVD of Raul's story, call 800-634-9165. On this Tuesday edition of Somebody Loves Your Radio, we'll continue our series exposing the dangers of unchecked sin. We'll see that while we may be surrounded by people presuming on God's grace and living sinful lives, we can take a stand and serve the Lord without compromise. Stay with us for an eye-opening reminder that the way of obedience leads to eternal life with Christ, while the end result of rebellion is death and separation from God. Here's Raul Reese now with the message, Do Not Practice Sin. If you have your Bibles, join us now in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1.
John the Beloved was the writer to the book of John and 1 and 2 John and also the book of Revelation. And John writes his little epistle, 1 John, to a group of people that were Gnostics. They really did not believe that Jesus was deity or God. They thought he was a phantom. And they had all these weird teachings that were going around, and it actually gave an opportunity for some of the believers within the church to continue a life of sin, because the Gnostics believed that it didn't really matter what you did with your body. You could actually do anything you wanted to do. And they took advantage of the grace of God and they began to sin tremendously. The Bible warns us, and here John is going to actually share with us the problem, not only at that time, but the problem that we have within the church today. Let me begin by reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. He says, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I want you to underline that if you can. If you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, then you should be purifying your life to him, even as he is pure. He says, verse 4, Whosoever commits sin is transgressing also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. But whosoever abided in him does not sin. Now, don't be frightened by that phrase, because literally he's talking about willful practicing of sin, because we do sin. But we're not habitually sinning daily without recognizing the conviction of the Holy Spirit within my life. There is no possible way that someone can say they're a Christian and continue to habitually live a life of sin, especially if you have the Holy Spirit. No possible way. If you do, you're probably not a Christian. Because the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit working within the life of the believer. And so when you come to Jesus Christ and you accept Him, now the Holy Spirit comes into your hearts. And He lives in you. And there is no possible way that a child of light that has the Holy Spirit can literally live a life of sin and say that he is walking in the light when truly he is in darkness. And the darkness is very dark. The light is always greater than the darkness. The light always exposes the darkness. The darkness does not rule. The light rules. Listen what else he says in that verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous even as Jesus is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil. And the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not make a practice of sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born again of God. Notice that and underline that. I think it's so important that we understand that one day a young man came to Jesus in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and he asked him a very important question. He said, Lord, how many people are going to be in heaven? How many people are going to be saved? And Jesus quickly turned to that young man and said, look, don't worry about how many are going to be saved. Are you saved? Strive to enter into the kingdom of God. For many will try to come in, but will not be able to. And the reason is because sin. You see, there are too many people today that are actually taking advantage of the grace of God. They're frustrating the grace of God. What do I mean by that? Well, they really believe that they can actually live a life of sin and still expect God to bless them. And they believe that literally they will get to go to heaven one day. But that's not true. And yet, there's this lie that is going around by Satan to the church of Jesus Christ. That even though the Lord is coming back very soon, yet there are people that are continually, habitually sinning against God. Willfully transgressing the law of God. And yet the Holy Spirit has been sent so that you and I can be convicted so we can change our lives. That's why in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 7, verse 21 and on, he said that many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? They had the gift of prophecy. Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do miracles and wonders in your name? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evil servants of iniquity or sin. The scriptures are very clear. The key is abiding in Jesus Christ in a life of obedience. And I feel that as John is exhorting my life here and is exhorting the body of Christ, even like Isaiah the prophet, listen, Isaiah 1:4, he said, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with many sins. A brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord and they have provoked the anger, the Holy One of Israel, and they have turned away backwards. They're not progressing, they're digressing. They're going back to their old lifestyles and what they used to be before in bondage, and God set them free. They're back doing the same things. Yet, because God is love, God is pursuing after them to repent. just as he's doing with us today here. God wants to see his people walking in righteousness, doing what is right. We have to be honest with God and men. God desires that we would never be like the world. Yeah, we have to live in the world, and we have to buy in the world, and we have to work in the world, and we even have to do business in the world. But we are not of this world. And this is why probably a majority of the church finds themselves compromising their position in Jesus Christ in whatever they do. This is why in 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, John said, "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not truly in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and this is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and every lust of it too. But he who does the will of God abides forever." I like that. Abides forever, not only in this life, but in the life to come, which is the most important. When we die and we go to be with Jesus. God desires that we would be clean from sin. And that we would receive this cleansing from all sins that we have committed through his precious blood that he shed on Calvary for each one of us. Even in the Old Testament, again, in the book of Isaiah in chapter 1, 16 to 20, listen to the heart of God. He says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil from your doings from before my eyes." God says, "I see it. Stop doing evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead with the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If we are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and you rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Wow. Thus, the Lord has spoken it. God said it. God did it. God will do it. We really do not see the fear of the Lord in the life of the church today. Yet, Solomon, in Proverbs 1:7, he said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." A foolish person will not take heed to the word of God. They'll be foolish. But a person that fears the Lord learns by having the knowledge from God's word. He listens, he pays attention, he does what God says by coming to a life of obedience. And one of the things that Paul warns us concerning the Corinthian church is that we need to be careful how we deal with non-believers, especially in relationships. There is nothing wrong working with non-believers and even having non-believer friends, but the problem comes when I begin to fellowship with them and I begin to do what they do. Then I become one with them. We have to be careful. Because there are people within the church, not only this church, but in almost every church, there are young people that really do not take heed to what the Holy Spirit is saying and what Paul is declaring. He says, look, the Holy Spirit says this, "Do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and then I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Therefore, Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Notice what God says. You see, when young people get involved, if you're a young person this morning and you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that is a non-believer, and you say, well, the reason I'm boyfriend and girlfriend is because I'm trying to bring him to the Lord. Hey, that's no excuse. You can't bring him to the Lord. Pretty soon they're going to bring you to their level and they'll destroy you. I have seen so many young girls and young guys that have come into this relationship as boyfriend and girlfriend just to actually get them to come to church and to get them saved, but it never really works. It works in some people, but most of the time it doesn't work. Because what ends up happening is you end up compromising your position with them. And you fall. God help us not to compromise in business deals and in relationships in any way where my relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be affected. God help us not to do it, but to make a stand. This is why in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, when Joshua was old and getting ready to die, and he saw the compromise among the people, he brought them all together, and right before he died, he even brought his wife and his children. And he said, now look, you guys hear me well. Choose you this day, who are you going to serve? The gods of the Amorites? For me and my house, we have made it a proclamation and a declaration that we are going to serve the Lord Jehovah God. And I think that's where it comes to, that you and I have to draw the lines. What you're going to allow in your house and what you're not going to allow in your home. What you're going to allow yourself at work and what you're not going to allow yourself to do at work or wherever you may go. Making a stand, understanding that you are a child of God and that you are not going to compromise your position as a believer in Jesus Christ. Why? Because you desire the blessings of God upon your life. I desire the blessings of God upon my life. We have to preach. We have to not only be doers of the word of God. Whatever we preach, we have to live up to it, or otherwise we become hypocrites. One of the things that I have come to understand in the scriptures is that whatever I do, I have to bring glory and honor to the Lord. That's how I check my life out. Whatever I do, if what I'm going to do, or wherever I'm going to be going or doing, or eating or drinking, whatever it may be, I have to check my heart before the Lord because I am under grace. And grace is broad. But I have to understand one thing. Is this thing that I am going to do, is it going to hurt my relationship with Jesus Christ, or is it going to make other people stumble? Then I have to be careful. Because surely I would not want to keep anyone out of the kingdom of God because of my greed or my selfishness of life. But I want to make sure that I'm in tune with what God says. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, therefore, whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do everything to the glory of God. I like that. Then I have a border. I'm not under the law, but under the grace. Why? Because everything that I do has to be pleasing to the Lord. And I always ask people, how is this going to please the Lord? If it does, then go for it. You don't have to worry about it. But if it doesn't, then you have to check your heart. Because whenever you and I compromise our liberty in Jesus Christ, then what's going to happen? God steps into the picture and he has to deal with you and with me. He has to deal with us. How does he deal with us? Well, there's a word called chastening. If you're a real son of God and you're really a child of God and you're a daughter of the Lord, let me tell you something. No true child of God can get away with sin. No way. That's just a fact. Because in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, actually chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, this is what Paul says. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. From whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son who he receives. God loves you so much that he's not going to let you get away with anything in your life. Now, he can't force you not to do it because you have a free will. I have a free will. But as he chastens you and chastens me, I get the picture, I get the message where it should bring me to repentance, it should bring me back into humility, and it should bring me back in fellowship with God. Chastening should not draw me away from Christ. It should draw me closer to the heart of God because of the love that God has for me. I could have gone astray, but he did not allow it. This is why you can really kind of check out yourself, that if you're living a life of sin and you're happy and everything's going good and there's no chastening process, maybe you're not a Christian. Because no Christian, according to the word of God, can get away with sin. No way. It's an impossibility. You see what else happens when you're living a life of sin as a true child of God? The Holy Spirit gets grieved in your life. That word grieved means that you bring pain to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a person. He has feelings. He has a mind. In Ephesians 4:30, Paul said, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And what grieves the Holy Spirit? Sin. Sin always grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And so as we begin to take an examination of our lives, then I begin to recognize that he who is working in me, which is Jesus Christ, is working out his purposes through my life. And the reason is because he loves me more than I love him.
Sobering to consider how many people have rejected God's rescue from sin and are living for today rather than for eternity. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we'll send you a complete copy for a donation of any amount. Our phone number is 800-634-9165. And when you get in touch with us, just ask for the lesson titled, Do Not Practice Sin. To help you live a life of obedience that's set apart for the Lord, we'd like to tell you about a resource titled Sin, The Root of All Evil. It's a booklet that explores the potential devastation of spiritual compromise in the life of the believer, and it can help you pinpoint areas where you might be most susceptible to temptation. You'll also see that when you avoid sinful detours and stay on the path God has laid out for you, you'll experience the abundant reward of His blessings. So contact us to purchase the booklet titled, Sin, the Root of All Evil. We'll send your copy for a gift of just $7.95 plus shipping and handling. To order, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. If you'd like to order the booklet by sending a check, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. For additional spiritual encouragement, you can also listen to any of the Somebody Loves You radio broadcast as podcasts. A complete archive of Raul's messages is available to download via iTunes or stream on any Alexa-powered device. Well, no matter how you listen to Somebody Loves You radio, it's our prayer that each one of these broadcasts has a positive impact on your heart and life. We value your feedback as we look for ways to craft these programs to nurture you in your spiritual growth. And we also welcome the opportunity to pray for you, so be sure and share any prayer requests that you have as well. Your contributions help keep these programs on the air. Somebody Loves You Radio is funded through the generosity of partners like you, and every contribution is tax deductible. Tomorrow on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more on this series on Sin Left Unchecked. Zeroing in on the sin of pride, you'll see how arrogance can lead to incredible destruction, while submission and humility earn the favor of God. Here's Roll now with the final word.
I like what Oswald Chambers says. He says, if we are born again of the Holy Spirit of God, our one desire is a hunger and a thirst after nothing less than holiness, the holiness of Jesus, and He will satisfy our lives. If we're really pursuing after holiness, Jesus Christ will come to that place within our lives that He will bring you to a place of satisfaction where you don't have to go out into the world and get all messed up, because our hope and our eyes are focused on eternity. We only live here for a little while, and it's over very quickly. And the only thing that is going to last is what you do for Jesus Christ eternally, period.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.